Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord, verse 6, unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd like to share around a thought. When God decides to top it off, when God decides to top it off, we are in a place in scripture here that coincides with what those of us who were here last Sunday heard concerning the ministry of these two prophets that were sent by God to encourage his people in times of declension when it comes to them doing the work of the Lord. They had got to the place and to the point where they literally ceased from doing God's work for God's house. And the adversary, that's what the scripture calls them, those who sought to undermine and to, in a conspiratorial way, you know, they plotted this thing. They used any means they could to stop the Jews from having more progress when it came to rebuilding the temple. Remember, they had been sent back home from Babylon. The time was up. They now had the freedom to go back to their homeland and build up and develop some kind of personal and religious dignity again because of what happened to them because of their sin. And so, having done that and begun that, those who were already there, those who had been living there, those who had taken up residence there, those who were not part of the Jewish community, they sought again to put an end to what the Jews were doing and trying to bring back again the things that had made them who they were. And so we saw where the people had, again, literally stopped working. And we talked about the call and the charge that we should get back to work. But now, at times when you look at scripture, and that's, say this in a way of reference, that when you read your Bible, particularly when you go into the Old Testament, it'll be good to get a map and put it in front of you that will give you a chronology of the prophets and the kings and when they were speaking and when they were reigning, because it'll give you some background about what's going on when a particular prophet or particular king was in power. So you don't just read, you know, some things and get right in the middle of it and have no context and no contextualization to know why they're saying what they're saying. And so these two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, were contemporaries. That means they were both prophesying or preaching at the same time. It wasn't a competition, amen, of theological debate. No, it were two men set apart by the Lord. And basically, they were speaking to the same people about the same thing, but not the same way. And we spend just a little time in here so we let you know what the scriptures is saying, because Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God in sundry times and divers manners spake in the past last days to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. And what it meant was that God had different and various ways whereby he communicated what he wanted his people to know. If you read back there, some of the prophets did some weird things, you know, in terms of when God wanted to get the people's attention. The word of God would have been enough and should have been enough, and that was always the point. But sometimes God would have them walk around certain kinds of ways and do kinds of things to capture the people's attention so that they would see again and recognize again that God was seeking to communicate to them. But there's another kind of thing here. Haggai was pretty much to the point. You know, he just spoke the word of God straight out and straightforward. But then when it comes to Zechariah, for God's own divine reason, he sought to use a different methodology of communication. It was still the word of God, but he used what we call apocalyptic literature. That means that he caused him to speak in a manner that was not just literal. Now, when you study the Bible and read the Bible, you should always go for the literal first. Amen. You be careful, because some folk, not y'all, because I know y'all don't do that. Amen. But some folk, they go to the scriptures and they try to allegorize everything. You know, you open a Bible up and you try to spiritualize the verses. You try to make it say what you wanted to say, and that's not what it's saying. And that's not where you started. You start out with the Bible is literally saying first. And if you don't get the literal rendering, then you go to the figurative speech. But you don't do that first. A lot of people have been messed up. And even though these folks on the radio and some of them no longer, you know, have access to the ears and the minds of God's people, but they start with this deep, trying to get this deep, deep understanding about something. And it got so deep that, you know. So you have to be careful. However, there is a method in scripture that God uses. And the way he does it, again, saying has connectivity. So Zechariah, he was one of the prophets along with Haggai. Again, they were contemporaries. And I can't go through all of it. I wish you would read it when you get a chance. But there was different kinds of visions that God gave him. These visions come as a result, watch it now, of a means that God used. Now, it's not the primary all the time. Are y'all with me here? Don't go look for something that's not there. I got a few amens, but maybe y'all see something I don't see. But he does use that as a means, but he always backs it up with a word. And so when Zechariah was preaching, angelic escort came, because Zechariah was going to have an issue trying to figure out and ascertain just what these visions meant. So we got to chapter 4, and Zechariah had already saw 3 or 4. But then in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said," Zechariah said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord?" Now, let me just clarify here. When he said, "What are these, my Lord?" he did not call the angel the Lord. That's just a term of respect here, but he's not calling it, because you don't worship an angel. Amen. "Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I," Zechariah, "said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings crying, Grace, grace unto it." So the angel woke Zechariah up one day, and in he woke him out of his sleep, but into a trance to see a vision. Of course, consequently, you know, Zechariah says the angel began to communicate to him. He said unto me, "What do you see?" Of course, Zechariah said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof." Now, I know I'm not being fair, because you have to kind of get an idea of what precedes this. At this point in time, Zechariah, the angel, is describing to Zechariah an image or a vision of that which God had used in his temple. It started back when God built the tabernacle. Are y'all following me here? In the tabernacle, in what they call the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, there were 3 pieces of furniture. There was an altar of incense where fragrance was put on there, and the incense was worn up signifying prayer to God. Also on another side was the table of showbread. That's where they put the bread of the bread on the altar here. And the priests had that there, and that was a means of their edibility. That means to partake of it, but they had to make sure they kept a fresh bread on the altar. Then over the other side, you had the candlestick. That provided the light for inside of the holy place. Are y'all following me here? Because watch it now. God didn't want nothing artificial in the holy place. So what happened is they had to maintain all of this 24/7. And it's been said, though I don't know for sure, but it's been said, but I know this for sure, that that candlestick was the only light provided in the holy place. And not only that, but the priest had the responsibility to maintain the wick that's in the candle and also put the oil in the lamp so that it kept burning all the time. Now, humanly speaking, I wish I could preach that, but that ain't my lesson. You understand? In other words, the light has to be shining all the time. But if you ain't got no oil, you're going to be in the dark. Nonetheless, from that scenario, from that, you get again as they go through and Solomon built the temple. Solomon built an extended version of the tabernacle. Instead of having one laver, he had three or four. Instead of having one candlestick, he had five or six. Now watch it now. The candlestick, are you with me here? The candlestick, anybody, you heard it, you've seen a menorah, haven't you? Menorah, that's a present day illustration of what we're talking about. A candelabra, maybe too, where you had this candlestick and not just one thing you walk around. We're not talking about that. We're talking about it has in the center, it has one, and then on the sides, three this side, three this side. The candlesticks. Amen. And then at the top was the wick. And then they had to make sure that they kept oil in the lamp. Yes, and maintain, amen, a fire burning all the time to provide light for the holy place. Are you with me now? Yes. But then you remember now, however, that God caused Nebuchadnezzar to come in. And when Nebuchadnezzar came in because of the sin of God's people, he didn't try to keep the Babylonians away from his temple and his stuff. But in God's mind, God said, if you don't want to worship me with what I gave you to do it, I'll let them take it and take it home. It's no use to you, so I'll give it to somebody else. That's what he does. And in other words, God said, I'd rather let Nebuchadnezzar have it. He don't know what to do with it, so he won't bother it. But I gave it to you to give you a symbol of how I should be approached. And since you put me on the back burner, I'll let somebody come in, bring the temple down, and I'll take all that stuff, let Nebuchadnezzar take it home. Yeah. Y'all better listen to me now. Because God is a jealous God. He would rather let somebody else have it than let you mess it up. But why do I go there? Because God brought his people back, and one of the main things they started to do first, and this is always the case, whenever you begin to rebuild, you should always start with worship. I know, you said we ought to have this, we ought to start with that. No, when you start to rebuild, you reestablish your connectivity with God, and that's through worship. And so that's what he did. He built the altar first, then he laid the foundation, and then the work stopped. Are you with me now? But then when the prophets came and stirred the people back up. God used opportunity. Haggai was having his say. But Zechariah now, his contemporary, almost simultaneously and subsequent of Haggai, Zechariah began to preach also. Y'all with me here? Come on here now. Zechariah, let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost is at work, I said when the Holy Ghost is at work, we got one Holy Spirit. I don't know how many preachers we got in the United States. I don't know how many preachers or prophets we got in the world. But if they belong to God, there's only one messenger from the throne. You got messengers, but you got the messenger. And the Holy Ghost brings the word from the Father and the Son. And the Spirit of God works through the true called prophet of God. And no matter where you at or where you live or where you come from, if you are the people of God, there is a thus saith the Lord for you on Sunday and beyond. I said before, so listen here, if a word is going forth, amen, and if a word is going forth here, pray for me, may it should, but you can go somewhere else. And if, in fact, the Holy Ghost is speaking a word of God expressly, you can pick up your phone and call somebody in another state and ask them, what did you hear today? And I'm telling you, it could be that the Holy Ghost, depending upon what's going on in their congregation, in their contextualization, whatever happening in their surrounding there, he's saying the same things to them there as he's saying now. And let me watch this here, because the Spirit of God can take one literal word and bring a word that can meet everybody's needs. The Holy Ghost don't need cable. No, he don't need cable. Watch it now. He is the signal.